or the objective of this course is to become a Vaishnava. How to deal with a Vaishnava, how to become a Vaishnava, how to become a better Vaishnava ourselves. So that's how we have designed the course for this time. And to give the basic understanding of this course, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Sanatana Goswami, Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami to write a book on Vaishnava etiquette. And Mahaprabhu gave Sanatana Goswami the basic outline, and that has been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 24th chapter, the verse 324 to 344. Those 21 verses has been typed out, has been printed here, and you all have that, those verses, the translation of those verses. It's actually very important because we have to understand that the basic outline of Vaishnava etiquette was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself to Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami wrote the book or collected all different understandings on Vaishnava etiquette from different scriptures, and he wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas. So Hari Bhakti Vilas is the basic guideline, but then again, Hari Bhakti Vilas was written with two objectives. One was to give people the basic understanding about Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava dealings, and the Vaishnava practices, the activities of the Vaishnavas has been described there. But at the same time, Hari Bhakti Vilas was also presented to make the critical caste Brahmins to realize that Mahaprabhu's movement is based on a very, very solid scriptural foundation. Mahaprabhu gave Krishna consciousness in a very simplified way. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was actually designed for the mass. In the age of Kali, most of the people are very, very degraded. And Mahaprabhu brought this Harinam Sankirtan movement to deliver the conditioned living entities in the age of Kali. And he presented the highest subject or highest object of the spiritual sky to the most degraded people of this material nature. So there is a big chance or possibility of misunderstanding Mahaprabhu's movement. And a lot of people did misunderstand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, especially very proud Brahminical scholars. Those who had a very profound, very literal understanding of the scriptures. They can rattle off the shlokas from the scriptures like nobody's business without having the proper understanding. And they used to consider themselves to be the retainer of the Vedic culture. But actually, they were so deluded by their material knowledge of the scriptures. They are actually a perfect example of Maya Aparita Jnana. The people, those who have been bewildered by Maya and lost their wisdom, whose knowledge has been stolen by Maya. Now they started to criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. For example, in the scripture, it says that only the Brahmins can read the Vedas and nobody else can. Only the Brahmins can chant mantras and no one else can. Only the Brahmins can worship the deities, no one else can. Now, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the most degraded people, like the Chandalas, the Javanas, the Lechers, start chanting the holy name of the Lord, and they were even worshipping the deities, and they were indulging in very, very specific Vedic activities, which were forbidden by the other castes, or forbidden for the other castes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made that accessible to everyone. Now the Brahmins became very vocal in opposition. They became very, very very loud and very even violent in their opposition to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So Sanatana Goswami, through Gopal Bhatta Goswami, compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas just to shut them up or make them understand that Krishna consciousness, the Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, is not a new thing or not a mental concoction of anybody. It is a bona fide religion. And in order to establish the bona fide of Mahaprabhu's movement, it was presented in a way that the Brahmins will recognize their mistake. And a lot of things that are not directly needed for our devotional practice has been mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas. So there was a need to select what is actually needed for the devotees and what is actually mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas just to shut up the Brahmins. So that's why Hari Bhakti Vilas sometimes appears to be a little contradictory and confusing. To give an example, Hari Bhakti Vilas gives a very specific instruction or injunction that certain vegetables shouldn't be eaten, like carrots, like cabbage, and so on and so forth. Now we see that Srila Prabhupada has given us the... Srila Prabhupada allowed us to offer those things to the deity. Like, we are offering carrots, we are offering cabbages, and so on and so forth. Now, apparently it's a contradiction, but here we have to understand that a devotee, say a pure devotee like Prabhupada, he knows what's to be done and what's not to be done. So here, Prabhupada's instructions becomes more important to us than the instructions in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Like, although there may be some apparent contradiction between Srila Prabhupada's instructions and Hari Bhakti Vilas, but for us, the devotees of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada's instructions are the final consideration. And we can justify that, the apparent contradictions can be justified by the fact that many parts of Hari Bhakti Vilas was just written, or many verses have been included from different Puranas and different other scriptures just to satisfy the smartha brahmanas and in order to establish Krishna conscious movement as a bona fide Vedic religion. So the most important consideration for Vaishnava etiquette, as I mentioned, is to apply these etiquettes in our daily behavior, in our daily day-to-day dealings. Because our main business is to become Vaishnavas, and in order to become Vaishnavas, we have to behave like a Vaishnava. And the Vaishnava etiquettes are actually meant for giving us the understanding of how does a Vaishnava behaves. And when we are in the Vaidhi Bhakti platform, we have to practice those behaviors. But when we become situated in a spontaneous devotional platform, then our activities will naturally become, or spontaneously become, like that of a Vaishnava. Actually, Vaishnava etiquette means the way a Vaishnava acts. And it's not an artificial thing. A Vaishnava is a person who has been situated in his spiritual identity. To be a Vaishnava means to become situated on our spiritual identity. And when we become situated in our spiritual identity, then we automatically deal from that spiritual, automatically our behavior becomes very spiritualized. And spiritualized means attracted to Krishna, attraction to Krishna and aversion to Maya. Whereas the material life means attachment to Maya or attachment to material nature and forgetfulness of Krishna. The living entities in the material platform, they have forgotten Krishna. And that's why they are running after all these material objects for their sense gratification, for their sense enjoyment. But in spite of running after and acquiring all these material objects, they are not satisfied. So in the material platform, everyone is running after a mirage. Whereas when one becomes situated on a spiritual identity, then he develops his relation. Actually, spiritualization begins with the understanding of Krishna and developing our relationship with Krishna. And when our relationship with Krishna becomes completely established, then we become pure devotees. But as long as some degrees of attachment is there in our hearts for the material nature, to that degree we become non-devotees. Our attachment to Krishna makes us devotees, our attachment to Maya makes us non-devotees. So there is a constant war or a tug of war is going on. Sometimes Maya is pulling us towards the material nature. And sometimes Krishna's devotees are pulling us towards the spiritual nature. Now if we side with the devotees, then we are going to win in the tug of war. No matter how strong Maya is, Krishna is the strongest. And Krishna's potency is manifest through his devotees. So if we remain with the devotees of Krishna, then we are bound to win. If we remain in the association of devotees, then someday we will positively become devotees ourselves. Someday we will positively go back to the spiritual sky. Then again, in this age of Kali, the most important consideration is to remain in the association of devotees. To be in Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement means to be in the association of devotees. Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement is designed for the mass, Bahubhir Milikta Jat Kirtana. When we chant the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, congregational, when many devotees get together and chant the holy name of Krishna, that is called Sankirtan. And that is the process for this age. And we have to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is the Yuga Dharma for this age, in the association of devotees. Alone, we cannot when we are alone, we cannot be in Sankirtan. Sankirtan means collective. So the most important consideration in this age to be in the association of devotees. And in order to be in the association of devotees, we have to be favorably disposed to the other devotees. So the ultimate consideration for Vaishnava etiquette is that do not create any disturbance in the society of devotees. So that is the basic consideration for our Vaishnava etiquette. We must behave in such a way that we do not create any disturbance to the other Vaishnavas. And that's why Prabhupada so much emphasized on the need of love and trust. Love is the force that brings us together, and hatred separates us. So if we love each other, if we want to remain favorably or harmoniously related to each other, then we have to develop that love for the other devotees. And when we develop, when we display that love and concern for the other devotees, then the other devotees will naturally trust us. So this love and trust is very important consideration for our Sankirtan movement. Yes, Rishi.
Can we ask questions now?
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes we see that devotees, they want to do some preaching, so they go out and they try to start some center. And the person may try to do it, he has to do it on his own and with his wife. And he has no association with devotees. So, how do you you just take shelter of reading Prabhupada books and mostly how you get your association?
So the question is, I'm repeating the question because they're taping it, so they may not. If your question, your voice may not have been taped. That is a problem we had last year. The devotees, those who are living outside or away from the devotees, although they are in their household life and trying to practice Krishna consciousness, how do they practice their Krishna consciousness? That's the sum and substance of the question.
It was just that you were saying Sankirtan means the association of devotees.
Right.
And if you don't have that association, then in fact, do Sankirtan is not so easy then.
Yes. Yeah, I understand that. So, yes, it will happen often. Devotees will live outside. And we can't expect that everybody will live in the temple or in the community. As Krishna consciousness spreads, there will be a lot of devotees, those who will be living outside, living even far away from the temple or the community. Now, first of all, they have to be favorably disposed to the movement. That is the first consideration. Like, one may be hundreds of miles away, but if he is favorably disposed to Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, then he is in the movement. Whereas somebody may live in the temple, but if he is not favorably disposed, then we notice that, you know, after a while, those devotees just go away, drift away. So that's one thing, one consideration. The next consideration is that no matter wherever you are, or wherever one is, he must preach. So Sankirtan movement is a preaching movement. One may be hundreds of miles away from the temple, but he has a surrounding, he has his neighbors and friends, he can preach to them, he can start a center from his house, or in his house, and start preaching from his house, and he may invite people to his house on some programs, evening kirtans and classes, and so on and so forth. So, no matter wherever one is, no matter in whatever ashram he is, one must preach the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is how one becomes linked up to Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. And that is how this movement is going to spread all over the world. Like, becoming a householder doesn't mean that now everything is finished. My spiritual life is, I don't have to go to the temple. Now my only concern should be to take care of my household. No, Krishna conscious householders, they're not so much concerned about just maintaining their household. The maintaining a household is their secondary consideration. Their primary consideration is how to spread Krishna consciousness. Yes, Vasudeva.
The question I thought was, this is very important to me, to get the right answer to this, although I have some idea what the logical answer is. But if the Shastras and Vaishnava etiquette is based on the truth, truth is very important, Vaishnava etiquette, truth, then why is it that even our acharyas at times, for the purpose of being practical, they have to add some clauses in the scriptures to please some not very ideal people, such as the smarta brahmanas, and in this way confuse so many issues. If even in the scriptures there are such statements which are not exactly true, but to please those who are untrue themselves, then how we, what kind of faith is that? We're supposed to have full faith in the Lord and preach the mission without compromising, and this is what Srila Prabhupada is doing. But then it is conflicting.
Don't make it too long. Yeah. It's, should I deal with the point now? That you...
Okay.
Anyway, the question is that if Krishna consciousness is based on truth, why the acharyas, previous acharyas, mentioned or added something to please somebody which are not the truth? First of all, they did not mention these things in Hari Bhakti Vilas to please them. The main objective was to defeat them, or to show that we also follow these. Then they are not untrue. Whatever they mentioned in the scriptures, they are not a bunch of concocted lies. They are quotes from the scriptures. And if somebody is attached to following those activities, he has the freedom. There is no harm, right? If one is very keen on, you know, sort of observing Chaturmas very strictly, you know, there's a strict description of the description of strict observance of Chaturmas has been given in Hari Bhakti Vilas. So if somebody is willing to do it, he is free to do it. But the understanding is that is not our goal. Our goal is not to observe, you know, our ultimate goal is not to observe Chaturmas. Our ultimate goal is to develop Krishna consciousness, our love for Krishna. And the understanding is that the love for Krishna does not depend upon these material practices like tapa, the austerities, performance of austerities, sacrifices, yoga, etc. And another consideration here is that the scriptures cannot be read. One cannot study the scriptures on his own. The Vedas have very strictly given the injunction that one must study the scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. So a lot of things may be mentioned in the scriptures, but the spiritual master selects the appropriate sections from the scriptures and instructs his disciple accordingly. So Hari Bhakti Vilas has given a very, very elaborate understanding, but the spiritual master, Prabhupada, has selected and given us the very basic prescription. That is, for ultimately, what is our vidhi? Follow the four regulative principles and chant at least 16 rounds every day. Actually, that is the sum and substance of all our vaidhi bhakti. Right? And if we do that, then we will progress to attain devotional service.
Just the fact that we chant 16 rounds instead of 64 also concurs with it.
Yes, it is 16 minimum. Right? But Prabhupada also suggested that we must try to increase. And ultimately, why 64? Our ultimate goal is to chant all the time. Right? So it's not that Prabhupada has given only... Prabhupada wanted us to chant only 16 rounds and no more. 16 rounds is the very basic number that you must chant. The minimum number. Yes, Purushottam Prabhu.
You were mentioning about the brahmanas. And understanding it is also Lord Krishna also actually in his own example glorifies the brahmanas. But these brahmanas, smarta brahmanas, they have given a misunderstanding. Actually it is true that only those who are the brahmanas are only allowed to study Vedas, because those subject matter are so confidential. clergy does require such a kind of an environment, the consciousness is still the only observed brahmanas, once they have not studied it. But these brahmanas are according to the qualities which Lord Krishna described in Bhagavad Gita. One who reaches those qualities, he is the only person who should be studying the Vedas. Anybody else who tries to study the Vedas, you know, then again he says, because he will get missed of this, because the Vedas do provide so many contradictory instructions, and one may not be able to understand what to do and what not to do.
Yes, yes. So the first of all, who is a Brahmana? One who is born in a Brahmana family? No. Brahma janati iti Brahmana. The one who knows the absolute truth, he is a Brahmana. Right? And then the prerequisite for that is that one must be initiated. Janmana jayate shudra. By birth, everyone is a Sudra. Even the son of a Brahmana is a Sudra. Sangashkarat bhavati dvija. By the process of purification, one becomes twice born. Then vedopathad bhavit vipra. By studying the Vedas, one becomes a vipra. And brahma janati iti brahman. And when he realizes the brahman, then he becomes a brahman. So, when does one, what is the sangskar? Sangskar means accepting upanayan. Accepting initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. So, this accepting initiation from a bona fide spiritual master is the very initial need for making stepping into the spiritual life. So, ultimate consideration is that one must be initiated by a bona fide guru. And who is a bona fide guru? Jai Krishna Tattva Betta. Shai Guru Hai. One who knows Krishna in reality, he is a guru. So ultimately, you know, we have to approach the scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, and the goal should be to attain Krishna. So when we approach that way, then everything becomes perfectly harmonized. But those smarter brahmanas, they are not actually brahmanas. So regarding them, actually there is a very crude prediction have been made regarding them, and that is Rakhosha Kolimashritta Jayante Brahmanishu. In the age of Kali, the Rakshasas are born in the womb, in the families of the Brahmanas. So actually they are not Brahmanas, they are Rakshasas. And these Rakshasas, you know, they were trying to destroy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. But that's why Sanatana Goswami, built a, fortress in the Hari Bhakti Vilas to protect Mahaprabhu's movement. So any intelligent person would see that what these Brahmanas are saying are completely baseless. Yes, Narottam?
Previously, my question before this, you were discussing Srimastha, and you made a statement that the primary duty was in preaching, and secondary duty is their maintenance. Right. Maybe a month ago, I was reading Prabhupada's letters, and there was a letter addressing him, and Prabhupada, the devotee's asking about opening a preaching center. A proper writing back and says that the main duty of Grihastha is not preaching. That the main duty of Grihastha is to maintain his family. Then he says that it is not that everyone has to become a big preacher in this movement. Our mission is to become Krishna conscious. So it seems contradictory. Yeah. I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah. So in response to my statement that for the householders to maintain their family is a secondary consideration. The primary consideration is to spread Krishna consciousness. But you mentioned that Prabhupada wrote a letter to someone one householder wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying that he wanted to open a preaching center, and Prabhupada replied, your main business is to maintain your family, then your business is to preach, or everybody should not become a preacher, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So, first of all, we have to consider who did Prabhupada write that letter to, and under what circumstances, what actually happened. Like, knowing Prabhupada, it's pretty obvious to us that Prabhupada would never stop anyone from preaching. Prabhupada himself neglected his household life for the sake of preaching. So when Prabhupada is writing like that to a householder, something must be terribly wrong with that person. Probably that person was just thinking of leaving his wife under the plea of opening a preaching center. Probably he was behaving like a rogue. And Prabhupada felt that, this person is going to be a bad example for our society. If this person goes up in the front and says that he is a representative of ISKCON, ISKCON's reputation will be jeopardized. So there must be some reason behind Prabhupada saying that. Prabhupada will never tell anyone not to preach. Anandamaya, do you have a question?
Well, I was just going to make a comment on that. Prabhupada's instruction in the letters should be taken under the time and circumstances, right, not as an alternate.
As a general instruction.
Yeah, general instruction, right, that Prabhupada says.
Oh, you have a question still?
Wouldn't that also be a preaching if somebody remains as a householder and maintains his family, which sets a very good example for others? Just like Prabhupada was also encouraging those who are working in the office. He was not saying that you give up the office work and come on and join me and start a business there. He says, no. Wherever you are, if you are in office, maintain your position. Office, engineer, doctor, whatever you have. And this way, if your associates, they will see that how you are Krishna conscious, that's your preaching.
In Krishna consciousness, we don't need an example of a householder maintaining his family. The example that we want to see is that how a householder is advancing in this Krishna consciousness and becoming more and more engaged in his devotional service. If it's a matter of maintaining his household, there are plenty of karmic examples. The karmis are maintaining their family very nicely. They're working like an ass to maintain the family like a dog. So that is not our example. Maintenance is not an example. Even the animals maintain their families. What's the big deal about maintaining the family?
Well, that's what I meant when I said maintaining.
Yes, one can be situated in his activities. That's fine. But what is the difference between a karmi engineer and a devotee engineer?
Because in any case, just like
one. Right. So the difference is that a devotee engineer, he's going through his work. He's maintaining his family, but his heart is at Krishna's lotus feet. So that is the difference between a grihastha and a grihamedhi. You see, grihastha, although he's situated in a griha, but his consciousness is fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. But a grihamedhi, his whole attention is centered around his house. He goes to work 100 miles away from home, just to come back to the home and to maintain his home. Right? Although he's going out, but his consciousness is stuck at his home. Whereas a devotee, although he is at home, but his consciousness is at Krishna's lotus feet. Yes, what's your question?
The Prabhupada mentioned, he said, standing for grass is 50%. That way, when they can, you're not giving 50%, when you get old, how do you give 100%? To renounce the household life, the Prabhupada said, stand for 50%. So your whole life, you're already giving 50% of your Krishna consciousness, so that's the basic. You should be able to give more.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. The ultimate goal should be to give everything to Krishna. But at least we can start from 50%. So that is at least half for ourselves and half for Krishna. And then it will keep on increasing, lesser for ourselves and more for Krishna. And then ultimately everything for Krishna and nothing for ourselves. And then only we become pure devotees. Yes, that's a good point. Yes, Vasudev Prabhu.
You were talking about the prayers that all that is mine, let it be yours.
Jokishu more. মানুষ ও দেহ গেহ যো কিছু মোর অর্পিলু তুয়া পদে নন্দ কিশোর।
It appears that a householder can give more than 50%, but 100% as a householder by preaching to his wife, making her a good devotee, by making his children to devotees, and in this way, showing, like Bodhisattva was mentioning, maintaining his family by making it with the conscious.
Right.
Why can that be regarded as a 100% preaching and devotional service?
Yes, it can be. It can be. Like even, it's not that only one has to be a brahmachari or a sannyasi to give 100%. The householders can't. Even the householders can offer 100%. They may stay at home, but they may have given everything to Krishna.
So that family maintenance, that is the example we're trying to show.
Yes, yes. My main point was that it has to be, our ultimate consideration is how much for Krishna and what for Krishna. Not just maintenance, because actually the householders basically love to maintain their family. Right? If a person is a gentleman, he'll naturally take care of his wife and children. Only an irresponsible rogue will not take care of his children and wife in spite of taking up the responsibility. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai Shri Prabhupada. Jai Shri Gaurinathai.